following message is a summarized version of the message preached on Sunday, March 4th, 2012, entitled Sovereign Grace, from John chapter 1, verse 16. From the fullness of His grace we have received one blessing after another. You'll look in the ESV or the King James and you'll get the idea that we've received from Christ, according to His grace, we've received one grace after another, grace upon grace. Now Philippians chapter 1, verse 5, if you'll turn there with me in your Bibles. This great verse, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So the question is, how much do we need God's grace? I think all of us would all say, well, we need God's grace and salvation to be sure. But do we absolutely need, are we absolutely dependent upon the sovereign grace of God in every aspect of our lives? Now, obviously, we'll focus on the issue of salvation in part because that's where most of us would easily see that that's where God's grace is at work first in our lives. We first recognize that. But this message is not intended today to be a debate between sovereign grace and man's free will. That message will come next week on the March 11th message. But I think the message will be clear today that we are absolutely and in every way needy and dependent on the grace of God, the sovereign grace of God. Now, in this sovereignty series for this year of 2012, it is our desire to set forth before the church that our God is sovereign and reigns in sovereignty through Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that the church today needs to hear the message that Jesus Christ is the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, and we are people dependent upon Him for everything. For salvation, for our lives after salvation, and in death. So when we are saved, as we live, and when we come to die, we are in need. And sovereign grace expands before and after all things, from before the foundation of the world on into eternity and on and on and on. The grace and favor of God will be evident. Now, when we say sovereign grace, we mean that God is fully and completely free to bestow His favor in accordance with His eternal and wise counsel, how He sees fit. If He's not free to confer His grace in the manner He sees fit, then He's not sovereign. And as a result, we are in trouble. But we have His promises, we have assurance from the Word of God that God rules over everything. Everything. And we've covered this in prior messages. You can look back and read those or listen to those. But God is free to confer His favor, His grace on whomever He pleases. He's free to confer His grace on unworthy people. And some would say, well, that would include me. He is free to do that. And it's astonishing for us to think, but God is free to confer His sovereign grace on hostile, rebellious, evil-hearted people that are deserving hell. He is free to confer His grace on people of His choice, in His way, at His time, for His purpose, for His glory. And we do deserve hell. So we have to give praise to God, for He is a God of sovereign grace. There are people that will argue and say, God would never do that. He would never choose some over others. Friends, He most certainly would. And He does. And we'll look at a scripture here shortly, and several scriptures, I think, that'll help us to see this. But what motivates God? God is holy. What motivates Him to give favor to some if He's not obligated to any? And that's one of the things we have to grasp. God is not obligated to give grace to any. But He gives grace to some. God's grace, fundamentally, is exercised according to His character and nature. we would say like this: God exercises his grace according to who he is. A great illustration of this is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, where we see our need expressed in what Paul wrote, and we see God acting according to his nature. I'll read this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy... So you catch something of his nature. Our nature is damnable, condemnable. But his nature, he is rich in mercy. He made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. We should praise God that God, according to his character, sovereign character and nature, moves toward us, he moves upon us, and he moves in us. The God who is love and who is rich in mercy has initiated and moved to us, in us, upon us, according to his sovereign grace. Now, Joel Beakey has a great statement. It says, God moves sinners to respond to his grace with sincerity. By free sovereign grace, therefore, we mean that the supreme God of heaven and earth, the sovereign triune God of salvation, freely wills and applies saving grace to guilty, contemptible sinners, transforming their lives so that they enjoy him and live for his service. This is according to the grace of God. Now, when we think of this, we most likely think of this in terms of salvation, God's grace toward us in salvation. But we have to remember, God didn't choose us for salvation. He doesn't bring us from death to life or regenerate us or save us because of anything that we could possibly do. He doesn't move toward us or act upon us or in us because of something that he sees we might do or something that we actually do, something we perform. Nothing God foresaw in us moved him to save us. Nothing that he foreordained in us that he would see come to pass would move him to save us. But God, who is perfectly free, wholly free, completely and according to his sovereign grace expressed in love and his good pleasure, did indeed save those he has chosen. Now, Jonah knew this experientially, the great Old Testament prophet. He said in chapter 2, verse 9 of Jonah, salvation comes from the Lord. Now, why don't we yield to this truth? Why do we stubbornly refuse to believe it? Why must we hold fast to the notion that God meets us as we move toward him? The biblical position is foundationally this, that God's grace is sovereign, and that God in his grace gives favor, confers his favor upon unworthy people. He gives his grace, he confers it, and it's not something that's merited by us. In Romans chapter 10, verse 20, Paul quotes Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet. And Isaiah, quoting the Lord, says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. Do you see it? If this is the word of God, we have to listen. I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. God did this according to his sovereign grace. Romans is a great epistle. This epistle addresses God's sovereign grace from first faith to final breath. And it demonstrates in this epistle that we are needy and dependent upon the sovereign grace of God by faith. And I think this, that we see our two verses we led off with today, John chapter 1, verse 16, that speaks about Jesus Christ, who is full of grace, has provided for us grace upon grace, or one blessing after another, but grace upon grace continually. I understand that grace upon grace can be illustrated by thinking of laminating grace upon one layer, laminated upon another layer, layer upon layer upon layer, from first faith to final breath, to your last breath. Now, Philippians 1:6 also, I think, states the same thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He will layer grace upon grace, and we are needy. This should cause us to praise him. It should cause us to be thankful. It should cause us to hope with security that what God has promised and what God has accomplished, he will finish it. He has promised grace upon grace, friends. He has promised mercy and grace in abundant supply, never ending, for our keeping. Listen, this is what Paul said in Romans 5:21. Grace reigns through righteousness. Whose righteousness? Christ's righteousness, to bring eternal life to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that brings us to eternal life. But get this, grace reigns. Nothing else reigns. We'll get into the subject of free will, but if you have to say free will does not reign. Grace reigns. Can you rejoice in this? God's grace not only saves, but saves every moment of every day, from first faith to final breath. Sovereign grace, God's sovereign grace, his favor works for us. His favor works in us. His favor works through us. His favor works to us. And if this were not true, then we could not say with the Apostle Paul with great triumph in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? If there was even a smidgen of lack regarding the grace of God toward his people, we would not have confidence, and we could not proclaim this, if God be for us, who can be against us? Because God is for us through the exercise of his sovereign grace. Friends, according to his grace, he called us. This is illustrated in Galatians 1:15. You can read it on your own. According to his grace, he regenerated us. Gave us new life, rebirth, new birth, Titus 3:5-7. According to his grace, he sanctifies us. Titus chapter 2, verse 12 tells us that the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness. You can think about that and study it. Do you see the extreme benefit of resting upon the sovereign grace of God and being moved by him through faith in Jesus Christ to receive his grace and thereby enjoy God in an eternal, permanent relationship with him? According to his grace, he keeps us and he preserves us. You can read that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. More benefits regarding the grace of God. We all would agree that according to his grace, he forgives us. But according to his grace, he brings us to repentance. According to his grace, he changes us and causes us to grow. According to his grace, he heals us. Our immobilizing, debilitating wounds, those things that have hurt us and kept us from growing, he heals. Many of you are holding on to pain and things that have hurt you, people that have said things to you, people that have done things to you. Friends, take hold of the grace of God. It's his grace that strengthens us in our troubles and our trials and temptations. God's sovereign grace continually connects us to Him through the person of the Holy Spirit. Do you see the triune God at work in the exercise of the sovereign grace of God? Think about it. God calls us to be holy, speaks the word, be holy, because I am holy. Friends, how are you going to do that? It's impossible. But according to the grace of God, working through the power of the Holy Spirit, He calls us and equips us as new creatures in Christ to be holy. He allows us, changes us, causes us to grow. By grace, He conforms us to the holiness, His holiness, through the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. He calls us to faithful service. Who of us can serve Him faithfully? God leaves nothing to chance. He doesn't leave anything to your own strength or mine. He leaves it to His grace that reigns through righteousness, calling us to serve. Philippians 2:13, for it's God who works in you to will and to act according to His good pleasure. Praise Him for His benefits. God calls us to faithful, God-glorifying suffering sometimes. Most of us will suffer, but He calls us to God-glorifying suffering according to His grace. The grace of God turns us from ourselves and turns us to Him. We look outside of ourselves and receive from Him the nourishing sap of health in suffering. Not physical health, but spiritual health that draws upon His strength and nourishment. If, as we conclude, just returning to Philippians 1:6, where He who began a good work and you will see it through to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, God will do it. God's grace is sovereign to save us, to preserve us, to bring us to Him saved, safe and preserved. Grace, as one person put it, should become one of our very best friends as we read the Scriptures. Think of it, grace reigning through righteousness, Christ's righteousness that's being credited to our account, that we live with the hope that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, that we will one day enter literally into eternal life, which we've entered into now, but it's according to His grace. One more quote by Joel Beakey. Grace is the divine principle on which God saves us. It is the divine provision in the work, person and work of Jesus Christ. It is the divine prerogative manifesting itself in election, calling, and regeneration. And it is the divine power enabling us to freely embrace Christ so that we might live, suffer, and even die for His sake, and be preserved in Him for eternity. Right now, preserved in Him, both now and forevermore. Give thanks to God for His sovereign grace expressed in Christ. Amen.